9:32. So good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
To the Housing and Transportation Committee. This is February 11th, 2021. It's 9:32 a.m. and we're going to begin our meeting. And the first business of order is call to order, which I just did. And then Pledge of Allegiance. I don't know if Jean's on. Yeah, there's Jean. Jean, would you like to lead us, those of us that can stand, in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Certainly, I would love to do that, Madam Chair. Please stand and join me as we renew our pledge to the most visible sign of freedom in the world. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you. All right. Roll call. Linda Barcelona, would you like to take the roll, please?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm present. Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Helen Cameron.
Present.
Amelia Castro.
Present.
Mary Chang.
Present.
Gary Frazier. I don't see him on there. Nancy Herman.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Here.
Carolyn Inman.
Here.
Juno Kim.
Here I am.
Tish Leong.
Here.
Scott Quinlan. Jeanette Revilla.
Here.
Sandy Stang.
Here.
Dave Tesloff.
Here.
Cynthia Thacker.
Here.
John Ulrich.
Oh, he's no longer on.
Okay. Jennifer Wang. Jennifer's not on yet.
Okay. Wasn't there a question about her, Elizabeth?
Yes, there is.
So I'm not sure if she's still on the committee anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll have to follow up on that one.
Okay. Thank you.
How about Cecilia?
Well, Cecilia, we're going to introduce.
Okay. She's not on the list yet.
She's not a member yet.
I know.
So we're going to, thank you, Elizabeth. Going to introductions, we have Amelia Castro, who's a potential new member. Oh, Cecilia, I'm sorry. I was mixing you up with Amelia. Is Cecilia on the list too?
No, Aguinaga. That's my last name.
Sandy, I believe this is her first meeting. So after she attends the meeting, then she can be appointed.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then we had a possibility of a new member, Amelia Castro. Is she on the computer yet?
Yeah, she was on. Yes.
Yes, I'm on.
Hi, Amelia. Amelia's interested in joining the committee. And Amelia, would you mind telling us just a few sentences about yourself and what you've done with seniors?
Sure. I live in Anaheim Hills, and I am a caregiver for family members. I feel there's a gap when it comes to helping seniors and getting information out to them. For example, what's happening with the vaccines right now and getting people signed up. So I do have a great love to help seniors. And again, I do a lot in my community when it comes to seniors and helping my neighbors and family members.
Great, thank you. So welcome to the committee. And then you need to attend one meeting, and then I believe she has to fill out the paperwork. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So if you make sure to fill out the paperwork, we'd love to have you join us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And where do I get that paperwork?
I could send that to you. I'll double check to see what we've received from you, Amelia. And then if we need anything additional, I'll send that out to you.
Okay, you thank her, you, Krista.
You have her email address and everything, Krista?
Yes.
Okay, great. Terrific. Okay.
Madam Chair, pardon me, Gary Frazier's here by phone.
Oh, great. Thank you, Gary, for joining us. You want to catch that, Linda, on the attendance?
Got it.
Thank you, Gary. We'll go to number five, Jeanette's report, SNEMP update.
Hello, good morning, everyone. So I just wanted to do a quick rundown of the report for the senior non-emergency medical transportation stats in November. So we have Area 1 trips provided. Oh, thank you for putting up that report, Carissa. Trips provided for Area 1 in November is 1,652. 1,037 trips were provided in Area 2. And 2,543 trips were provided for Area 3. Average cost per trip in Area 1 is $53.03. Area 2 is $43.24. And Area 3 is $45.43. Mm-hmm. Average trip length for Area 1 is 6.25 miles. Area 2 is 9.4 miles, and Area 3 is 5.37 miles. And the average cost per mile in Area 1 is $8.49. Area 2 is $4.78. And Area 3 is $8.45. So just as a quick recap, I know you guys are seeing some elevated numbers on the cost per trips. Like I explained last month, we have negotiated a temporary rate increase for our providers just to accommodate their the sanitation needs, the decreased ridership because of they can't transport several people at the same time now. So it's almost like an individual, trip and individual cleaning after each and every trip that they offer. So that's why there's a little bit of increased costs, and they're also purchasing PPE apart from the PPE that we provide to our, because we have been providing some masks, but not a lot of masks for our for all of our aging providers, but they are also purchasing PPE in case someone would ride and they don't have their own mask or they forgot. They have to have masks when they do come on board. So that is it for the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Program.
Questions for Jeanette?
Yes, I have a question. This is Tish, Jeanette.
Hi, Tish.
Hi. I've been helping with these with vaccine clinics here in Santa Ana, and we've been using Abrazar as transportation to help these seniors get there. Would that be noticed on this?
Yes, actually, we have just added and approved the SuperPod sites as part of, because we have a list of sites where we have, we call them exception locations. That means even if they go over the 15-mile one-way limit, trip limit, they will be able to charge the whole thing to the program. So we have just added the SuperPod sites for Soka University and Disneyland to our list of exceptions. So they can, like, so if you have, if you know anyone who are 60 and over and who need rides to and from the SuperPod sites or anything that comes up again, like any other pod sites that get added, please refer them to Abrazar and AgeWell for trips, because they will be able to provide them with that. Yes.
So they will be doing it, because the site that we're using, the sites are not the SuperPods. And so they will report that, right?
Yes, yes, they will. Okay. I mean, it's going to be lumped into what they report to us every month. It's not, unfortunately, it's not going to be separated. But if we need, if the committee does need those numbers, I can ask our providers to separate those for us, or see if they can run a report to separate, just to see how many people are using the transportation services just specifically for vaccination.
You know, I would love to see that if you could do that for, you know, maybe the next month, just to see Well, it'll just be interesting to see the numbers and how they're being used.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure thing. That's actually really good. No problem.
Any other questions for Jeanette?
I have a question.
Elizabeth.
I don't know. Maybe Jeanette has nothing to do with this, okay, because it has nothing to do with this senior non-emergency medical transportation. My question has to do with the emergency rental assistance program.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Elizabeth. To the committee, just be prepared because I'm going to be talking a lot in the next few minutes. I will also be doing a report on that shortly after we wrap up on SNEMT. Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Any other questions?
Hand raised. I'm not sure if that's the right protocol. This is
perfect. Thank you.
Jeanette, what's the best way to refer someone who's looking for a vaccination to these transportation services?
So for the transportation services, the best way, if you look at your report, under that, there are three service areas. So depending on where they reside in Orange County, you just need to refer them to the correct provider. So you have service area 1, 2, and 3. So service area 1 is North County, service area 2 is South County, and there's a list of cities there too. And service area 3 is Central/West County. So areas 1 and 3 are being served by Abrazar, and area 2 is being served by AgeWell. So whoever needs any appointments, you can refer them to them. The only requirement is that they are 60 and over. And if they are not already on an existing, if they have not been enrolled into this program, they just have to enroll and then that's it. And there's a fare of $2 per each way, but that can be waived if they ask.
And are these phone numbers and contacts, where would you find them?
I actually can, if you want, I can provide you with the actual Office on Aging phone number, because we can actually refer them to those, instead of referring them to each phone number. If you refer them to our office, we can actually provide them with that information. Let me grab that Office on Aging number for you guys momentarily.
On the letterhead, on the bottom of your letterhead?
That is correct.
14-480-6450.
That is correct, yes.
But I'm thinking more about how to refer people who may not be connected to good communication. We just heard about the challenges of communicating. So the easiest way is the way we want to provide to individuals so they can make these contacts easily.
Yes, because if you do provide us, if that would be the easiest way, is to provide them to our information and provide them the information to or contact number to our information and assistance call center, because not only will we be able to provide them direct referrals to these providers, because we're going to be our operators are or our senior services representatives are equipped with they're going to be asking them questions about what exactly they need, where they reside, and they can refer them to the correct service areas. They can also provide them with referrals to other aging services. So they might, a lot of our callers might only be looking for one thing, and then they end up getting referred to other things that that we have access to. So it's a really good one-stop shop. It's almost like a 2-1-1, but for 60 and above. So yes.
All right.
I have a question.
Elizabeth.
Instead of calling the 714-480-6450, what about the 1-800-510-2020?
That would be good as well. The only thing about the 510-2020 number is it is refer you or kind of dump you into the phone line depending on your area code. So if you're like me, I live in Orange County, however my area code is 562, it will initially transfer me to LA County based off of my area code. So it's just set to avoid kind of being transferred, to and from depending on your area code. That's the only thing about that. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're not going to be referred to the right place. It's just that, you know.
You can't go out, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to know, Jeanette. I would have never known that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of those things that, yeah, yeah. It's you're still going to get to us. It's just you're not going to get to us, like, direct, not like the 714 number.
So really, to start out, for most people, they should use the 714 number.
Absolutely. If you're calling from Orange County and if you want to reach Orange County, the 714 number would be the best one. However, for California wide, if you have anyone, you know, say Tish, you're moving to San Diego, right? So if you know anyone who might need aging services there, definitely refer them to the 510-2020 number, because then they'll get them to the correct county or planning and service area.
So once you're in the system, could you go to the 800 number then? Could you, they have your address and information?
I think you're still going to be doing, I think because it's just like a major phone number, I think it's still going to be connected to your, if I'm not mistaken, it's still going to be connected to your area code. So okay. You're still, yeah. So okay. I would say definitely, but if you do call the 714 number, once you're in our system, we could look you up by phone number, by address, or by name, and we could tell you, okay, we can easily say if I called in and, you know, they already have my information, they can easily pull up my history and see where they referred me to before, some notes about what we talked about. So, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Sandy, I have another question. This is okay. Tish. Jeanette, on that, is there something like either on the website or a flyer or something that tells us what you just told us?
Yes. So if you go to the Office on Aging website, we do have a list of service providers, and we also have a list of, I believe, of partners that of the agencies that we work with. However, the list is for the information and assistance call center, the list is pretty extensive. So I don't know if all of them are going to be there, because we have a referral system that we pull from. However, for the main providers that we contract with, our office, so Meals on Wheels, Abrazar, Alzheimer's OC, those are the types of providers that we directly contract with. It's going to be on our website. So, you know, and it tells you the services that they provide, like ombudsman service, non-emergency transportation and all that. Yes. And even congregate sites are listed there too.
But what about that number that is for if I would, like you said, if I was in San Diego, I would just have them call this particular number. Is that on the website as well?
Yes, that is correct. It's on our website. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Let's move on to number six.
Okay. So I am going to continue talking if the committee does not mind.
We don't mind.
So I actually am in, I've been in touch with, so as you know, we actually work closely, especially when it comes to this committee, with two different departments. One is from the Housing Authority, that's our OCHA, and we also have the Continuum of Care, which is OCHCA. So
Jeanette, let me interrupt for a quick second.
Sure.
Is everybody's screen flashing, or is that just my computer?
It's just your computer.
Okay. I need to fix that then. Thank you, because it's annoying. Sorry, Jeanette.
No
go
problem.
Ahead.
You're fine.
And as we're looking at you, we're seeing flashing lights.
Okay.
It's like you're getting your photo taken.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. I'm going to turn off the video.
Everyone should have Carissa put up the screen on Jeanette's report. Does everybody have that emergency rental assistance?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. We do.
Perfect. Okay, good. So when I sent out the invitation or reminder to the two departments that we work with, we actually got also a response from HCA. Unfortunately, Zulima Lundy is not able to attend this meeting, but she wanted to share this information with a group. And I told her that I would do the report on her behalf. I just wanted to go over this. We also have a flyer that we included with the agenda to for everyone's use. And if you want to provide this flyer to anyone who you might might benefit from this, please do so. Just as a recap, for the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, or ERA, the U.S. Department of Treasury had allocated $65.5 million to the County of Orange for the implementation of the ERA program. So just as a quick summary, the ERA program provides funding to assist households that are unable to pay rent and utilities due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So this is largely be used for direct financial assistance, including rent, rental arrears and utilities, and home energy costs. A maximum of 10% of the total ERA program funds may be used towards administrative costs and housing stability services, and that includes case management. So I just wanted to let you all know that the ERA program for the county will provide a maximum financial assistance of $10,000 per eligible household to pay for rental arrears and past due utilities. So underneath that, there are some eligibility parameters for what can be defined as a renter household in which at least one or more individuals meets the following criteria to be able to qualify for this program. So they need to be qualified for unemployment or has experienced a reduction in household income, incurred significant costs, or experienced a financial hardship due to COVID-19. They need to demonstrate a risk of experiencing homelessness or housing instability. They need to have a household income at or below 80% of the area median income. And their assistance is not duplicative of any other federally funded assistance. So it's kind of in the same vein as the other federal assistance that we have for other programs. Of course, it cannot be duplicative, you know, like say if they're already receiving other funding to help with rental assistance, they cannot avail of this program. So it's a little bit, right now we're kind of in the thick of the application period, but if you know anyone, the applications will be accepted, of course, as of the February 1st, and it goes through February 28th. And a little bit of a side note here, the cities of Anaheim, Santa Ana, and Irvine received direct allocations from the U.S. Department of Treasury, and they are running their own programs because their populations are over 200,000. So rental households located in one of these three cities will just be referred back to those three cities if they applied under the general HCA program. The statute does not allow for ERA program assistance to be provided to homeowners and past due mortgage payments, utilities, or energy costs. This is solely to be used for renter households. So I added some contact information below. You know, you can always call 211-OC. You can text ERA to that number, 898-211, or visit www.era.211oc.org. You can also click on this website for more information and about this program. And a great thing about the flyers that we offer, I know that the flyer right now that Carissa showed, it's in English. We actually have them in a variety of language. We have them in Korean, we have them in Spanish, we have them in Vietnamese, Khmer, and I believe Chinese as well. So those are all available in the website, or I actually even have copies of them if you know someone who might benefit from them in those languages. So that's basically what the ERA is in a nutshell. I just wanted to share that all with you.
All right, questions for Jeanette. Elizabeth.
Wonder, Jeanette, if we could all get this, because this would be good for the TAC report. And so if I could get it, but I would think maybe everybody might want a copy of what's right here in front of us.
Absolutely. Actually, I believe, Carissa, did we send that to them, right? I think the memorandum and the flyer were sent to the group, if I'm not mistaken, along with the agenda. Yes. So if you guys have not received it,
I made a copy of everything and I don't have this.
For some reason, the flyer came out on my printer, but not the memorandum that you just referred to.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why. I could see it. It was stated in there, and it just wouldn't come out. It wouldn't print for some reason.
Huh. Carissa, do you mind resending to the group?
Yeah, I can send that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Nobody else? Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much for your attention and for your questions. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. Thank you.
All right. And then the next item is the long-term goals workshop. So today we don't have a speaker. And Linda Barcelona, are you still able to, with your two computers, make changes on the goals for us?
Take notes on the computer and make changes later. I've been taking notes on the meeting so far.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
I haven't figured out how to get the document. I'll make changes later.
Okay. Linda and I were brainstorming, and I said, first of all, we have to thank Carolyn. She spent I don't know how many hours working on these goals. So everyone be sure and thank Carolyn. And then I said, it's not fair to make Carolyn take the notes and make the changes after all the time she spent. And Linda said she had two computers and she thought she might be able to figure this out, that we could make the change, but anyway, whatever. So we'll figure it out. All right, so I apologize also, I got behind. And we didn't get everything out to you ahead of time like we were going to, but if you'll take a look at the goal one, and I don't know, Carissa, if you have a better way of doing this, let me know. I'm open to suggestions.
I can put it up on the screen.
Oh, that would be great. So the objective today is to take a look at all Carolyn's hard work, and we want to get this done. So we want to make any changes today and then get it sent off so we're finished with it. So we could start out with goal one, which is transportation. I know you can all read. Anything you want to change or make different than what we have so far on that first goal, or any suggestions?
I think Carolyn has done such an incredible job.
I know she has.
How do you improve on this?
Well, number one is the recalculation of the outdated ratio of disabled parking spaces, which to me is a really good one. And I don't think it's ever been addressed in our committee that I can remember.
Yes.
And she's come up with several good points. There's a lot of abuse. It's an inefficient system. The thing that I've heard the most from people is, not to be rude, but when people die, nobody turns those passes back in. And I think they're passed around and people are using them. Now I have a friend that's a volunteer, I don't know what you call it, senior in Aliso Viejo. And before the pandemic, she said if they saw someone with a hanging tag, they could go up to them and ask to see the paperwork. And if they did not have the paperwork, they could give them a ticket. But I don't think all the cities are doing that.
And then there's another abuse as well, is like those who get the temporary ones, mm-hmm. you know, and then they just hold on to them and use them.
Exactly.
So they're not used for the expiration date, you know, check. So it's something that, and I want to echo, Carolyn has done an amazing job, and kudos.
Right. The other thing that I don't know if I heard this at the snack meeting or where I heard this, but if you have a permanent disabled plate, you can ride the toll roads for free.
Oh,
I'm wondering if some people, you know, really pressure their doctors to get that, because that's a big savings.
Yes, it is.
If that's accurate, I think that's where I heard it. So does anyone have anything on number one where we recalculate the outdated ratio of disabled parking spaces to the total?
Okay, yeah. I did want to say one thing. To the best of my knowledge, the parking, the handicap parking ratios are different for the different cities and counties.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, and different types of use too.
I second that. This have, it depends on the city.
Yeah, it depends on the city, and then the use. You know, whether it's a commercial use or a medical use or industrial use, there's a different ratio for each of those uses and different for the different cities and counties, going back to my development days many years ago.
I have a question. I'm sorry, Linda, were you done?
No, that's okay, Cynthia.
I also, a question is, so in a city, I know they're different, but also the actual sites where 10 years ago, they only had three or four, do they adjust them as the population changes on your shopping centers and stuff like that? So that might be an area. And then again, this is, you know, great. And thank you, Carol. But again, the honor system was always in place. Out of this, and we've lost our honor system. So how do you get back for people? Right. I mean, I have one for my mom, and I would never use it because it wasn't right to do, but that's me, and not everybody feels that way. So, you know, it's you know, how do you correct an honor system like this?
I have a couple of questions, I think, and Carolyn, thank you for that great research. If the goal is to increase the number of parking places, and do we really know if it's an issue in particular cities? Because if you have to advocate in every city, we probably need some more information. For example, is the Irvine Police Department ticketing people because there aren't enough spaces and they're finding that the spaces are inappropriately used? I think we need a little more information about what the need is and whether we should customize our advocacy for additional spaces based on more local need. And I don't know how we get that information, but maybe our Office on Aging can help with that.
Well, I think we should go back to Carolyn and how this is going to be presented to the committee, and how, because we don't want to get too detailed, is what I'm getting at. So okay. Carolyn, why don't you review how this will be presented and then where it goes from there?
Okay. I'll rely on the members who are on the executive committee to help me. But here's what this is this is our idea, and it needs to be, you know, specific enough so they understand what we're trying to do. But then what it will go to the, as I understand, it will go to the executive committee, who will look it over. And then I don't know, Carissa and Tish and everybody, I don't know if we're going to have a retreat for all of the ideas. We did that, what, 2 years ago? So the retreat for all the ideas is that pretend that both of ours even pass the executive committee, then at the retreat, the whole group would rewrite them and add and so on and so forth. So I don't, you know, we could do that, but I think possibly what we have is good enough. Although the information that it's city by city should probably be in there. But I don't know that we wouldn't start doing advocacy right away or anything.
So that, I think that helps clear it up for everybody. So we're presenting a suggestion of a topic that they could work on the executive committee. And then we might go further and get more, if they come back to us and say, we need more information by city or whatever. So I just wanted to explain that to you, Helen, so that makes more sense.
Yes, thank you. That makes
Madam Chair, I have a quick question.
Yes.
Jean. Yeah, Helen makes some good points, and I agree that that's probably more into the committee when we start getting into this, if in fact we do have the that workshop that that Carolyn talks about, which I believe we are going to, mm-hmm. and then we can cover that in detail. So this is more of a broader concept, but yeah, a lot of those issues need to be fleshed out, and it will be city by city for the very points that she raised. So I think broad category, I think we're okay with this.
I do too. All right. Anything on number two, decrease misuse, abuse, and fraud? Okay.
Same thing. That needs to be fleshed out later, but.
Right. That's what I thought. Let's see. What do we have next? And then she has all the individual points that she made. Raising fines. So these are all suggestions that we're giving to the executive committee. So,
right. And like we all sent this. And I think when we're sent something, we're supposed to read it and study it. Not just say, oh, well, here, okay. So I copy everything and really go over it. It's a fine-tooth comb.
So do you have any suggestions or changes?
No, I think that Carolyn has done a super job.
I do too.
Mm. Amazing.
This is Dave Tetzlaff. Can I make the recommendation that we approve the transportation proposal to be submitted to the executive committee?
I think you can.
Okay, I'll second that.
Great. Thanks, Tish. So now we have discussion. Any discussion to that?
Just that this will be fleshed out at many, many levels. This is the first blush.
Exactly. This is our first step, and Carolyn's done a lot of work on it.
Absolutely.
So I think for our first step, this is fantastic. We couldn't have any more information. And then when they come back to us, if they pick our ideas, then we might have to do a little more work. All right. So we'll take a vote then. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? So the ayes carry. So thank you, Carolyn, very much once again.
Thank you.
Ton of work. All right. Well, I don't think you have to make any changes, Linda.
Okay.
All right. So then we go to chair items. And the first one is...
No, we have to do the second goal.
Oh, the second goal. You're right. Sorry. Okay, this one was on housing. Flexibility in Section 8 housing. So they wanted to talk about eviction, mobile homes, manufactured homes, roommates, board and care, and the homeless.
And again, I want to thank Carolyn for really doing all the heavy lifting on this. I know this was an idea I threw out and Carolyn ran with it. So thank you.
You're welcome.
The only thing, Carolyn, and you, of course you would have known this, is the impacts of COVID on this. Because that will have, right now, evictions are already put on the back burner where their evictions aren't occurring. There's a lot of these things are in various stages. So maybe we just added kind of a broad category and, of course, the COVID impacts on these areas or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that could be like number six and just put COVID, what could we say?
Or something that not necessarily COVID, but something pandemic. About a pandemic. Yeah.
Pandemic. Yeah, let's use the word pandemic. That would be broader.
But it's specifically COVID on this one now, Tish.
Right. But in the future, I mean, God forbid anything happened, but if we just put pandemic or some serious crises or.
What if we said pandemic, then parentheses COVID?
Well, COVID's going to be with us for years. So,
true, but
we can't say pandemic. That's fine because we could have an outbreak of the Spanish flu again, I guess.
Yeah, you just never know.
Yeah, pandemic is like a general term for different diseases. Mm-hmm. And COVID is a direct problem that we have right now. That's what you guys want to try to say?
Yeah, well, it's right now, but it's right now for the next at least 2 years.
I like the idea of putting pandemic with COVID as an example.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
fine. I second that.
That's where I would see it, like number six, Linda, if you could put pandemic and then put in parentheses COVID and then think of a statement, how would you like to say that?
Well, it should be just with number one and not number six, because it is something to do with the eviction. Mm-hmm. And right now there are, you know, there's that mandate of no evictions during the pandemic, you know.
It was just COVID. Extended too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just that though. It's board and care. There's issues with the.
I kind of think it's its own topic if you want to.
It really is.
Okay. I get the eviction, but I think it's its own topic, and I think we'd be remiss if we don't point it out.
Okay.
What do you want to say for number six?
Let's start with pandemic.
Okay. Aaron, COVID.
And then parentheses, we'll put COVID.
Got it.
And then who has a suggestion or idea?
Evaluate the impacts of the current situation on housing insecurity for seniors.
And long-term effects, yeah. Situation. What will be the long-term effects of this?
And long-term effects. Okay,
Colin, you're amazing.
I talk a lot.
I also have another one. So when we're done with this one, I have another suggestion.
Let me just check with Linda. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, and what's the next one you have, Tish?
Okay, the inspections for Section 8. During the pandemic, the city of Santa Ana, and I don't know about other cities, but my particular city, were sending letters and scheduling inspections where the senior had to do it virtually. And many seniors do not have that technology. So she reached out to me, which is my neighbor. And so I called, because she was told that she would lose her benefit if she did not do the inspection virtually.
Let me interrupt. What kind of an inspection? What is this for?
Section eight, you have to be, your home has to be inspected. I think it's every 2 years.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And so many, not just seniors, but many Section 8 people that are on Section 8 had to have this. And so some of them went ahead and did it virtually. And so I volunteered to do it with my phone, and which would have cost me my data, right? So that's besides the point, but you know, just to throw that out there. And so what I did is I reached out to city council, the city manager, and literally complained on how can they do this. It was just wrong. And so instantly I got a phone call from the city manager's office saying that they were going to reschedule her. And so then I asked, is this going to be for everyone who's technology challenged? And they said, no, they have to specifically ask for it. So I would like to see something in there to where during, you know, just any time, you know, not just during the pandemic, but to insist on a virtual inspection or anything virtual for those who do not have internet or devices, that they shouldn't be forced and threatened that they're going to lose their benefit because of not being able to do that.
I'm not sure I would say, what I would say is that yes, there should be another option. If you don't have these devices, here's the other option for you.
Exactly. Well, maybe we could phrase that in our sentence then, that there should be an option.
Yeah, that don't have the electronic capabilities.
Well, and you're also going to have some seniors that are probably too old that wouldn't even know how to do it anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if they have the internet, I don't know that I would even know how to do it.
Well,
some of Helen us are technically challenged.
Helen yes. is. Hold on a second, Helen. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
It's Section 8's federal, right? Isn't that a federal program?
It is, but each housing authority, and we have four in Orange County, have different procedures and ways they do it. But to Tisha's point, which is, I think, a good point overall, when we're talking about flexibility in Section 8 housing, we might add a sentence, explore alternative resources for those who have not, who have technology challenges, maybe just an alternative approach. Because it really applies to everything when we're talking about applying or any of these suggestions. So, but I did want to make another comment. I think in the first sentence, we need to add the word senior before citizens.
It's an overall.
Oh, okay.
So more senior citizens instead of, right?
Housing challenge.
Because it makes it more specific to what we're doing.
And then what we're doing.
The other thing, maybe it's not the right time if it's just going to be analyzed by the committee, but prioritizing some of these recommendations, because I think there are so many that it would be helpful if we could talk about what we think the priorities are, or maybe that's the role of the SCAC group.
I think that's their role. We're just bringing them suggestions of things that they are going to possibly pick to work on.
Okay.
We will do that, Helen. We will do that prioritizing.
Okay.
So I don't think we need to waste our time on that.
Yeah. Okay. We can give you many suggestions.
So Tish, do you have a sentence of how you want to say this for the?
I think during for Section 8 inspections, and Helen, please jump in because you are amazing at this. But for Section 8 inspections for anyone who has technology. I don't know.
How about some challenges
should find another way to have their inspections done.
There should be alternatives provided.
There you go.
Yeah, you may have physical handicaps, you're younger, but you can't do the technology stuff.
Exactly. And I mean, and this should be just, you know, with anyone.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you're on Section 8, it's because you're low income. And, you know, do you buy groceries or do you get internet, you know?
Does that work for you, Linda?
I'm trying a couple different sentences here, but and I'm trying to think at the same time. So maybe that's something that, I mean, it shouldn't take that long to do a virtual inspection. If I'm visualizing this right, HUD wants to see certain items in the home to make sure they're up to code for the HUD approval. So to me, that means they want somebody to go around the apartment to see these things, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm assuming.
So maybe that's something that even a senior services department or even some volunteers can be employed to do. Not employed, but you know, involved to do.
The whole argument, Linda, was because they're concerned for their staff to go enter someone's home during the pandemic. Yeah. That is their concern. And so they said that they will reschedule it sometime before the month of June, and they will find another alternative. So,
okay. Well, for our purposes, we just want to say that there should be some alternative, I think.
Yes.
And then the committee, the executive committee will decide. They might not even take this. But so we're just making a sentence that says something about Section 8 housing inspections should allow for exceptions. I mean, I'm trying to think of another word for exceptions, but or alternative inspections or something like that.
Okay.
How about just Section 8 inspection option for technology challenged people to request an exception for virtual inspection?
That's good, Elizabeth. I like that.
Yeah, you know, that's good. My issue with that is that the senior doesn't know that they can request it. And that was the challenge. They don't know they can request to have it rescheduled. So I think it needs to be offered, you know, or something. They need to be a little bit more transparent about the option that they have that they could request.
Yeah, now you're going back to the federal agency. You have to require a federal agency to make an exception. I don't know if we can do that.
But why not? Well,
because it's city driven. The city is what told me they have to request it.
Yeah, they can actually do that with their housing authority guidelines. Okay. So I think Tish is onto something there.
Okay.
It really does need to be make it available to an option available during COVID. I mean, it's really related to COVID at the moment.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So Tish, are they notified by a letter or by phone?
They're notified by a letter that they're due for an inspection, and they're given a date. And then they have to then call to make arrangements to do it virtually, either by Zoom or whatever other method.
So we can very quickly, Tish, be an advocate through the four housing authorities and just say, please include this language in your letter if you don't have the technology to do this.
Right on.
Okay.
Or actually, even at their inspection, they can get there and go, hey, I didn't read it or I didn't understand it. Okay, then we'll reschedule and here are the options you have. So they have the opportunity to tell folks that, you know, before we're going to shut you off, they physically come out and realize what the situation is and regroup and give the other options.
But they're not physically coming out.
They're not coming out.
No. All they did was get a letter with a date. This is the date you're doing it.
But don't they have to follow up on the letter if you don't return it, if you don't say anything? Aren't they going to then follow up somehow?
You would think. You know, we didn't, you know, as far as my situation, she called, and then that's when they told her, you have to do it virtually or you will lose your benefit. So that's when I made the call, just to make sure that she understood correctly.
It seems to me that a lot of things would be triggered before they just said you lose your benefits.
Yeah. That's what I
guarantee you they have to make a couple of more contacts. That's it's like exactly turning off your water or electricity. They don't say if you don't pay, your water's off tomorrow. Doesn't work that way.
That's exactly what I thought. And that's what triggered me to send out my letter to the whole world and then got some reaction. And then they had to speak to the young woman who told us this to tell her to be a little bit more empathetic and understanding.
But I think you're making the right point, Tish. This is really intimidating for people in the first place.
Yes.
These inspections are critical to their ability to stay housed.
Yes.
So when anybody threatens to do anything, people really react. So perhaps through our, I think it's as simple as sending a quick note to the heads of the four housing authorities saying during COVID, if you're doing virtual inspections, please be sensitive to the needs of seniors who may not have technology and provide alternatives.
There you go.
And by the way, threatening letters to seniors is not a good thing anyway. Look how many frauds are perpetrated that way. They're getting this all the time. So this is ridiculous to send a threatening letter when in fact, I get them all the time, phone calls and emails, and I know better, but some seniors aren't going to say, oh gosh, my card's no longer good. I got to call somebody up and give them my information all over again. I mean, that's the reality. That's why these things are done, because they work. People do call in.
Exactly. For our purposes today, though, let's get a statement on here for number 6. Linda, will you and I, if we have to brainstorm later, later.
Yeah.
And we'll at least we have it in there, Tish, which is the main thing. Now it's yes, going to be brought to people's attention. Right. I'm sure most people didn't know anything about this.
And well, then, I know I didn't.
And then we'll see what the executive committee says. And if they don't pick this, then maybe later on we have to work on this and address it further.
Well, the executive committee, Sandy, can always kick it back to this committee and say, hey, can you flesh out some of these things for us?
Okay, there you go. But so for our purposes today, I think we did a good job. You did a good job, Tish, bringing this forward. We get it on the document and then we'll go forward and see what happens from there. Okay.
There you thank go. You.
Okay. So anything else on the housing goal number two? Yeah.
I just wanted to say one thing, and that is this really makes me angry, Tish. There are many reasons why a person doesn't have technology. We've listed three of them. You know, the device, the connection, and the motivation. But sometimes there's the arthritis in your hands. I mean, you know, there's a lot of physical reasons why a person also can't, or, you know, let's just say can't use, you know, use technology. And the idea that they would threaten someone makes me furious. I mean, I think quickly of ADA. I mean, it seems to me like they're violating all kinds of
for sure.
You know, concerns that we have, you know, whether it's an actual law, but things that we usually do. So thank you for bringing that up, because like someone said, we didn't know about that. And that's just wrong.
Yeah. Well, Carolyn, no, this is the way bureaucrats are going to work, because one size fits all is the easiest way to go for everything. And one size fits all never works. So, but to them, it's easier to regroup and address a squeaky wheel, because what if there is no squeaky wheel, then they get to move on. So you're
and that's right. Exactly what happened. And this squeaky wheel still.
Yeah, you got oil. The oil. You got the oil. Had you not said anything, they'd have been happy.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, everyone.
Shows you why this is such a good and valuable committee.
Yes. So do we need a motion for this one?
Oh, yes. I think we do.
Okay. Well, I'll make the motion. Tish will make the motion.
So Tish made the motion. Elizabeth, did you second it?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion to accept with adding number six on the section 8.
That would be number 7.
Number 7?
Yeah. Right.
Sorry. I don't take very good notes. All right. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you. Yay, Carolyn. You did it, Carolyn.
Squeaky wheels, yeah.
Good job, Carolyn.
Well, good job, everybody. It's a great committee.
It is. All right, so now we go to chair items, new business, chair outreach. What does that mean?
Who wrote this agenda? This is your agenda.
I don't remember this. Is that for new members?
I think you wanted to talk about people reaching out to other seniors.
Oh, yes. And I noticed when I joined SCAC, they had a person call me and welcome me to the committee. And I was wondering, do you want to include that in our committee from now on so that new people would get a call from one person welcoming them? Did anybody like that idea or dislike it?
It's a good idea. It just depends who the one person is to call out.
Well, I said to start, I would call out.
Oh, it's a great idea then. Go for it.
All right, Sandy, tag, you're it.
No, I have no problem with that. I'm not that busy. I can't do one phone call. That's no problem. And then the next one is member ideas and actions. Any other ideas or actions or things that you would like us to discuss? No. Okay. Then we have number 3, reports on prior events, Zoom meetings or events. So I guess that's coming from the committee. Do you have any things coming up that you want us to know about?
It seems like I'm seeing a lot of stuff. Maybe Elizabeth, you're putting it out. There's a lot of things coming up.
A lot, yes. And I'm sending it out.
Sandy, yeah, you are.
And on, I just mentioned that, was it, just the other night, there was, what was it? Oh, let me just tell you, a housing thing. And Helen was there. What was that housing thing, Helen?
Yeah, it's part of Housing is a Human Right, and they had a lot of history of how we get more affordable housing. Mary Ann Guido and Maya Dunn, who are did a really great job in communicating about housing needs and the history, some of which, even though some of us have been around in this arena a long time, we learned a few new things about how Irvine has done a lot in terms of inclusive, affordable housing communities and how they've paid for it, which was an exciting conversation. And one of the takeaways, I think, was all of our communities are working on their, what are called their RENA numbers, their regional housing need numbers. So all of us really should be paying attention in our own local communities, because we know that housing, particularly for seniors, is often not addressed. And we need to keep that on our radar. And most of them are low or extremely low income, particularly if we're talking about the homeless seniors, because they're typically at best on a disability income. So we should be keeping our eye out for and advocating for those kind of housing options.
I can tell you folks that that is probably the hottest item on every city agenda now is the RENA numbers. It's huge, huge. A lot of subcommittees, a lot of groups, ACCOC, League of Cities, mayor's panels. This topic is if I had to say, what's the one thing that's got everybody's attention? It's the RENA numbers, because the cities have been, that's a whole nother story. In fact, I've been dealing all week with that, of how Orange County got their numbers tripled, quadrupled over LA and Riverside, who kind of pushed it to us because primarily demographically, this is where the jobs are going to be and therefore the housing should be here. Mm-hmm. And, but when you're talking about cities that are saying, hey, we're already saturated, too bad. Your numbers are huge and they're going up. And so right now this is the hottest topic going. And especially when you're talking about the levels, Rena talks about, you have to have different levels of housing. We already know that, right? You know, moderate, low, extremely low, and that kind of thing. So yeah, there's a lot going on. Pay attention, ask your electeds, because they're all aware of this.
Okay. And to add to it, as Helen said, this was really good. It was Monday, February 8th from 7 till 8:30. And I think almost all of you got this notice, and I was surprised, but I didn't send it to Helen because I couldn't find Helen's email address, but there she was, but not a surprise. But if we're going to be on the transportation committee, seems to me we want to be knowledgeable about this, all this. And this was a really good meeting.
That was on the 8th of January.
February. February
8th. Oh, we're in February. Yes, you're right.
So your friend Caesar
Yeah, he was one of the panelists.
Speaker, Brooke Weitzman.
She's the attorney.
She was there, but she didn't speak. But I mean,
she's a huge advocate for the homeless.
Yes. I mean, you can't believe the people who were there, and of course, I never heard Helen speak, but Helen's right there at the top. Okay. And
I will tell you, Elizabeth, every day of the week, every day, there is some committee working on housing. I got one today right after this. The ACC is having their housing subcommittee. And this will be the topic that will be coming up.
Well, I'm sure.
But I like the fact that we need to, in that conversation, which tends to go kind of over here, doesn't really talk about the senior aspects of that. And that's what I will bring to the table today.
excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that Santa Ana is in the process of building a huge complex, a senior apartment complex here in downtown. It borders Tustin. It's on 4th Street, and it borders, one street over is Tustin. And it's going to be a beautiful facility. The only issue with it is that it's not walkable to the stores and stuff, but it is going to be a beautiful complex.
Well, it's interesting you say Santa Ana, because Santa Ana is one of the cities that had their numbers reduced.
Yes.
So
well, as
they're
we
not
should.
Under the gun. Everybody
as
else
we
is.
Should.
No, not as you should.
Yes. Everything
you've got
falls
all the services
Santa
there.
Energy.
You've
we've
got all the services
this,
there. So when
debate.
You put these places further out, now those that are challenged, particularly transportation-wise, have more difficult time getting to the services that Santa Ana wanted to have and got.
And Santa Ana gets dumped on all the time. It's time.
Santa Ana asked for those buildings. They asked for those services. They didn't get dumped on. They asked for those services.
Yeah.
So now you're right. You're the center of the universe in Orange County. Live with
about
it.
About time.
Does it say how many people will be able to live in that building?
Oh no, it's huge. It's like at least 300, if not more. Yeah. It's huge.
Part of that, Tish, and we have over 400 units.
You don't think that's too many? When you put a whole lot of people in one place, doesn't matter what age group there is, it tends to have problems.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be one of those units that are like multi-living, to where they have like the active and then the ones that have, you know, more hands-on care. So I haven't really dug into it that much, because there are some of those complexes that do separate their buildings like that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, like so one is just to, you know, like just you and I going in there to live. And another one who's maybe needs a more assisted living type of, you know, hands-on care. So I'm not sure.
You're hitting it on the head, Tish, because that's going to put a huge impact on transportation needs. What kind of needs, particularly for seniors, which is different. You know, that trolley system that you've got, that's the kind of thing that that they'll be looking at. And is it more walkable? Walkable communities in Santa Ana
exactly.
is a good place to start because of the density of the population.
Gene, a question popped up for a city council man. Does when the city reviews these projects and accepts them, do they take in the thing how long it's going to be affordable? Because I understand in some of these, you know, in 10 years it goes in back to just
or
regular
value, yeah.
And so do you
know a lot of this is driven, Cynthia, by the state and the feds. So we respond to that. I haven't heard about the cap on the length of time that it's affordable. Generally what happens is in the affordable housing, the goal is for those folks to move up and out of that kind of housing. That's what's preferred. So it's not that you necessarily max out. It's like, hey, this is the way station. This isn't for the rest of your life. We want you to look and, you know, get that dream home you want, either getting better jobs, education, working up and out of it. For seniors, it's a little bit different. Senior housing, it's expected that, yeah, this will be your last station maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I meant the whole complex. I mean, a lot of times I understand that in 10 years or 12 years, it reverts back to a low income or something like that.
I don't think it reverts back, but I can tell you the landlord and the owners probably want that. You know, they want to move out so they can get somebody's going to pay full price for the unit.
So do you guys look at that and see, make sure that you can get the maximum long-term?
When we build senior housing, we don't put a limit on it. It's senior, period.
Senior, period, yeah.
Cynthia, the normal affordability requirements are 55 years of affordability. As a nonprofit developer, we typically have constraints on anything about those units for at least 55 years.
Okay, thank you.
We're talking about different funding that requires different lengths of affordability here. So
Tish, what did you think about that grocery store that's going out and they're going to build something there in Santa Ana. I forget what it was. Was it housing?
Oh, the Northgate supermarket?
Yes, thank you.
Actually, I wrote a letter of support.
You did?
Yeah, mainly because it's a grocery store that I personally shop at. I can walk to it, but there's a Food for Less like in the same exact distance. So we're not losing the grocery store. We're losing a specific Northgate market.
Right.
But and they are actually putting money into an affordable housing project. So it's not like they're not going to, this one is not going to be affordable, but they are putting money into an affordable. So they're doing everything, in my opinion, they're doing everything right.
Okay. And I think Northgate is a Hispanic market, right? That's a Hispanic market.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that in that neighborhood, though, do you?
No, they're actually going to build another one like within a mile.
Oh, okay.
So like I said, they're doing everything right. They reached out to me, and so we had those were my concerns, and we had a big conversation before I agreed to write a letter of support.
Okay, good for you. I was just curious about that when I was reading it.
Yeah, there's a lot of gentrification noise on it, which justifiably there is a concern, but you know, it's a good project.
Okay. All right, anything else on this topic? All right, then moving along, I have the SNAC meeting that, for those people that are new, that's OCTA, Special Needs Transportation, which includes seniors. And this time, maybe because it was online, we actually had a quorum, which is highly unusual, right, Elizabeth?
Oh, so true, so true. Nancy does not have the highest opinion of this.
I make no comment. The meeting, they talked a lot about the coronavirus again, and regular bus ridership is way down, but it's starting to come back a little bit. I thought it was interesting, to your point, Jean, they had to make an adjustment. They have always required someone that has a mobility issue and needs special help with transportation to go into Santa Ana, or it's actually Orange, I guess, and be assessed. They have to prove, you know, what their handicap basically is. Well, now with COVID, they don't want people going in. So now they're assessing them over the phone. Isn't that interesting that they can do that now?
Yeah, well, let me add another wrinkle to that, Sandy. The whole issue with the RENA has now tapped into OCTA and their long-term vision plan, which is modeled on the stats that we get from the state and the feds, of where the population is going to be, where the business is going to be. And we start putting out, okay, this is where we're going to need to have these bus stops. Well, RENA says, okay, if you're going to have a bus stop there, see, they view bus stops as ideal spots for high-density housing. So people can get close to the bus stop. So now picture all this a 40-year plan, all these projections, and that's what RENA based their numbers on, which is, that's a bogus way to do things. You shouldn't do it that way, because we don't know what's going to turn out that way. What if the population doesn't go, or it shifts, or it moves? But anyway, they're giving us the RENA numbers today that could last for 40 years, when in fact, who knows if Beach Boulevard is going to still be a major thoroughfare all the way to PCH. Probably will be, but so they call those the super corridors. And so that's a real hot item right now too. The cities are very upset that they're having to put plans for affordable housing, which is high density, in the areas of these bus stops.
Interesting. So, and then they have a travel training mobility workshop that they're having to do virtually also. So they're helping people with that. They're starting to work on diversity outreach. They said that one of the fastest growing areas was Asians. And so they're trying to do more with that. They're working on their planning studies for a multi-module transportation. Let's see what else. I thought this was kind of weird. They brought up the fact that some of these people that are low income and take this bus and it's only like $2, they're not paying. So they're spending all kinds of time now trying to get the people to pay. I'm like, was kind of crazy to be bringing that up now. But they have made more things for COVID. They have Easy Wallet where you can just pay with your phone and different things like that. So that's pretty much it for that meeting. Any questions on that? Okay. And then number six was other. So do you have anything else that anyone has to bring, would like to bring up?
I think I mentioned to this group that I appreciate the discussion that we had, and I think Elizabeth brought it up about the senior centers not having microwaves. And I checked with our city, and that the developers don't mention that, by the way. They say, yeah, we're going to build senior housing, but that doesn't include microwaves. Well, ours will from now on, but also our CDBG grant money, we're going to put a little fund there for so our seniors can take grants out to get microwaves if they want it. Because I now realize the importance of that. So that was very helpful and I appreciate that. So
well, that is good news that you guys are doing that. I hope other cities follow up.
Well, it takes you guys to talk to your electeds, let them know that's an issue. Remember, they respond to that stuff, or they should, or they're not going to get reelected if they don't. Let me rephrase that.
Well, maybe we should have put that on one of our goals to have cities be more informed on that issue. Because I mean, if you're going to build, and a lot of them, don't they include stoves, right? They should automatically include microwaves. So maybe that.
Anything that's going to cost a developer more money, they're not going to automatically do. Trust me. You're going to have to ask for that.
Well,
but now I know to ask, and we will. And they'll do it.
But that was my point. Maybe if it's a goal that we inform the cities to ask for that.
Yeah, and that should be part of the planning commission of the cities to be one of the questions that they would ask at the very beginning of the project.
But they're not going to ask if we, everyone on this Zoom right now, doesn't make those contacts and call in.
Exactly.
Everybody needs to be more of a squeaky wheel like Tish. If you start doing that, just that alone, calling in and saying, hey, would you just put a little tickler there that if a developer comes in for senior housing, they include microwaves. That's all you got to do. Boom.
Yeah, Gene, I'm more a thorn in their side than the squeaky wheel.
That's good.
Yeah, you are definitely what we would you're what we'd call a massive gadfly. Yeah,
called a thorn amongst roses.
But I get things done.
Yeah,
and gadflies will. You know, I will tell you, it's only a handful of people, citizens, that attend council meetings anyway, and they're the ones that get things done because they're there. If you're not there, if you don't have a seat at the table, you're on the menu.
Exactly. And I take my own chair.
but Jean, my point was that somehow we need to get it in our system to do that. So if it's part of our goal, I'm thinking that will help us, be forthright and on the top of our brain to remind people, that we need to do that. Don't you think there's some kind of notice that we
Would be a good thing for the senior liaisons. Maybe not now that I think about it, but the liaisons are liaisons to the senior centers. So I guess that's not really to the city councils, but there's more liaisons than there are people on this committee. So that would
be. But once our goals are selected and approved, then it's each of our, we have the green light to go ahead and contact our electeds and say, hey, look, here's the deal. Pay attention to this. This is what we'd like to see more of. Yeah, then we can do that, Cynthia. And that's really kind of one of our missions anyway. I know we're under the umbrella of the supervisors, but if they see our goals and they approve those goals, well, there's no reason we can't be advocate for those goals.
Right on.
And it brings it to my point is, with our busy schedules, it gets in the back of my mind and I forget about it. But if it's part of our goal, it's right there. And it's a reminder every day that we can do that. that was the only my point, you know. That's all.
Okay, am I allowed to say something? Because I don't know if I'm I wasn't on the agenda, I wasn't presenting.
No, go ahead, say something.
So I just been listening to all of you to be acquainted to what how that works. But in regards to this last subject, Jean, you're talking about make a phone call. I tell you one thing by experience. You got to do both. You make the phone call and you have to send a letter to all, to the mayor and the city council and the city manager. You want this to work? It has to be in writing. Whatever that, once everything is approved, you know, a phone call. And remember, in Santa Ana, for instance, we have a lot of new city council people. So they don't know nothing. So we need to put the pressure to be able to let them know that we're here to defend the citizen rights. But phone call and writing letter, what we want.
Well, I can tell you, Cecilia, that in your Belinda, we have a website, and I mean it's state of the art, but, and I bring that up because anyone can write and make a complaint or a thought. It there gets logged and tracked, and somebody gets back with you. It's a real easy way to do what you're talking about. Your way is always solid. That's more old school now, though. If you want to do it on the website, do it electronically. And what I like is it's tracked. Yeah. It gets a number. Yeah. It can't just disappear and go away. Someone has to respond to it.
That's really
exactly. It doesn't have to be. Excuse me. What I mean, it has not have to be sent a letter or whatever. I'm talking about to send an email, like you said, website, something in writing, that to hold them responsible, whether they read it or not, it's going to be their fault. But they need to respond to us.
Well, that's the way the system's supposed to work, yes.
Yeah, like that.
You think most of the cities are doing that, Gene?
I'm not sure most are. It was very costly setup for us, but we thought it worth it because we were getting a lot of things that would fall through the cracks. People say, hey, I called and nothing gets done. We get simple complaints like the street sweeper. You know, our contract now, no longer do they use water, so they just blow dust around. And people get very upset at that. So now they make the complaint and we get back with them. We follow up every time and give a lengthy explanation. Here's why that's occurring, to change that, contact, you know, Republic and see what they can do about it. They stop that, by the way, because water is very expensive. But so the key is that people have a voice and they get somebody responding back of authority.
I'm agreed.
Well, maybe what we should do is each of us should check our city and see how they're handling comments and letters and phone calls.
Well, actually, Santa Ana does.
Great idea.
On Santa Ana's website, there is a place that says report an issue. And we also have an app to where we can physically take pictures of it, send it off, and you get a response I wouldn't say immediately, but you do get
do they have a tracking system. That's
we have a tracking system.
Our folks get a number and say, here is the number of this, and you can track where it is in the system at any time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know really if we get a number, but we do get a response, especially if you use the app on our phones or whatever.
You know, you probably get a response to this because you're on somebody's speed dial. But I would think try somebody who's not and see what kind of response they get.
That's a good idea.
Audit the system. Oh no, that's true. We have certain names. If it pops up, all right, get back real quick on this one.
I think I am on the wall.
Are they going to have a going away party for you, Tish, when you leave, when you move away?
It'll be more like a celebration. Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be, I think, a mix of both. I'm going to actually, a city council member reached out to me, and I think they're going to do us some kind of a recognition at one of their city council meetings.
Oh, good. Yeah. Terrific.
So you want a school named after you.
No. A senior center.
There you go.
That would be good.
Actually, that's one of the things that I really am pushing, is to do 5 satellite senior centers throughout the city, because we only have 2 senior centers, and do satellite ones throughout, and then do it like in the morning for the seniors, and then a transition into a youth center for those that when they come out of school. So do kind of something like that.
Mix and old and new, I like it.
There's so many, other cities and countries that are doing something that have already done it. And so that's something I'm pushing for.
A neat idea.
That's good. I like that. All right. So our next topic is our presentation schedule. So for March, we have Dave organizing Habitat for Humanity. Is that still on, Dave?
Yes, it is. We're good to go.
Okay. And we have Sharon Ellis as the speaker?
Correct.
Okay, great. And then Jean, you were going to work on April, something from OCTA. Do you have a speaker name or anything yet?
We do. And Garotti is the last name. But yeah, we're good to go on that. That's all set up. So I'll get you the bio and info on that.
Okay. And you know, as do you have a quick spelling of the name?
Garrate.
Garrate.
Okay. I believe that's what it is, but I'll confirm that.
Okay. Thank you. And then Tish, you were trying to organize something on the mobile homes with Dave? Oh, Tish, you're muted.
It was with Senator Umberg's office, and they did reach out, and I think I copied you on that email.
Yes.
That it was too soon to schedule him in.
Okay.
But I know Dave is familiar with Umberg's office, and Nick Annis is the one that was my contact. So as long as you stay in touch with those two people from that email thread, I'm pretty sure someone will make that presentation, because it was a good PowerPoint presentation on mobile homes.
Okay. So Dave, will you follow up on that? Because Tish might be gone by then.
Yeah, Tish, would you send me the contact information there?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought you were on that thread, but if not, I will definitely.
The person I'm dealing with is in Sacramento. So
this is
the local office, which would be great.
Yep. Yeah, I will forward you that email.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then for July, we had Dave, maybe housing, but I don't know if you had time to work on that or anything yet.
You're talking, what was this?
This was July, and I had in my notes, maybe I'm wrong, but I had, you were going to try and do something on housing for July 8th meeting.
I don't recall that.
You don't?
Isn't July, no.
June, we're dark.
Yeah, July 8th I'm doing, right, on transportation.
June. No, you're April.
I'm sorry, April, you're right, April 8th.
Yeah, and May is housing, so why wouldn't July be transportation?
Oh, it probably should be, you're right. So, and Dave's gonna work with Tish on the, and Tish might be gone by then, mobile home, so we should have somebody else try to do July 8th transportation. So anyone have an idea or suggestion?
Well, you want me to change the one on the 8th of April and make that July?
Well, we would still need something on transportation because we're alternating.
Right, we're trying to alternate. No, let's keep it the way we have it, Gene, because you've already started working on it, right? I'm just trying to work.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to work ahead so that we're not, you know, in a panic with nobody to speak.
Well, we can definitely have another transportation speaker. I mean, I can get tons of those folks. We'll just change the topic. Maybe we're just finishing up our, 40-year vision plan, the things that we're talking about. Maybe we can have somebody give an overview of that, because it will impact seniors.
That would be good. You want me to put you down for that?
Yeah, put me down for July too.
Okay, thank you. And then Juno had said that he and Jerry wanted to do something in August. Is that still true?
Yes, still it's on. We will inform that to you later.
Okay, so we'll keep you on the schedule for that.
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then, so that takes us out of way. So we can probably hold off on September. We don't want to get too far out. It's hard for people to put that in their calendars, I think.
Okay, everybody, I have to leave. So I will see you all at the general meeting, I guess.
All right, thank you for everything. Appreciate
okay.
it.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tish.
See you later.
Bye, Tish.
Now we're on number 9, announcements. So any announcements?
I don't know if it's an appropriate time or not. Can I say something?
Yes.
A few minutes?
Yes.
I am at the lowest level, actually helping the seniors, especially the Asian seniors. And because of this corona thing, I get more difficulty. For example, the Asian seniors, they're afraid of calling the public contacts. They usually call me to help them out. They want to go someplace for doctor's appointments and all that. But I have to drive them, but then I'm scared. So as a result, I say, hey, I cannot help you. Then I'm becoming a more, incapable leader in the community. That's my point. And this another issue that I'm dealing with is the racial issues. Somehow the way it's happening, how it's happening. Some YouTubes and on the news, the peoples are heating up the Asians, seniors, punching them out, stuff. And the peoples are really scared, contacting the city or the county offices for the help. So they usually call me, hey, in this situation, what can I do? And I don't know how to solve this problem. And that is what's happening.
And hey, this, June, where did that assault occur? I hadn't heard that. Did that occur in Orange County?
The Orange County people are saying and yelling out.
Yeah, Gina, it was on the news the other night. And yes, it did happen in Orange County.
What city, Sandy?
I don't think they said. I don't remember that part, but they said they were just giving an overview of what Juno's saying, and there have been a lot of issues. They're not sure, but they think it might be a repercussion from COVID, people assuming that it came from China, which we still don't know.
This racial issue is getting worse. I don't know how. When the low-income housing is built, how do we make peace between the interracial populations. That's another thing.
Why don't we have the human, and for Sandy, why don't we have the Human Relations Commission give us an update, a program on what is the trend of interracial violence, where is it occurring and when and how frequent, are the numbers up? Before we assume yeah, it's on the rise, it's everywhere. Let's see what's really happening, and then what can we do about that?
That's a good idea.
And another thing in Asian community, it's a strange and stupid. In our neighborhood, there was a house for sale. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1-story, moderately upgraded in houses. The person wanted $950,000. Okay, but then the young couple with 1 child, they overbidded 50,000, 60,000. We are having a problem with the housing in the rest of the the Orange County, and here is the people buying up 50,000, 60,000 over asking price. This is a stupid thing. It's what is happening in my neighborhood.
And, you know, that's just not your neighborhood. That's everywhere. No. That is the trend. And that's because of supply and demand right now.
Right.
It's a seller's market. Right.
And the buyer is an Asian. And then people say, hey, so there's a lot of complicated situations. And
that has nothing to do with being Asian.
No.
My white sister-in-law has been trying to get into Yorba Linda. And every time she goes in at the asking price, it's a bidding war. And that's what these realtors want. And they want a bidding war. They say, come in low, and next thing you're paying $150,000 over that. That's not racial. That's supply and demand.
That's three-bedroom, two-bath house, $1 million. That just don't make any sense.
Where is the location?
Yeah, it's location. You're right.
Where is the location?
Woodbridge area in Irvine.
That's a high-upscale neighborhood.
Yep.
Many times the location has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I agree with Gene. That's not specific to Irvine or Asians, because I live in Little Lake Forest, and we had a house that the inside was trashed, and they offered $40,000 over the asking price, and the asking price was too high in the first place.
That's exactly right.
So I don't think it's specific to Irvine. I think it's happening all over.
And it's clearly not racial, and I'd be very cautious of putting that umbrella on it, because it's not.
Yes. Yes, be careful.
Yeah.
All right. Any other comments from anyone else?
No.
I have something to say. It's very important. I don't know if we can leave this issue for next meeting or something, but notice that you guys did not mention abuse on the homes where the people go unrest, like rehabilitation homes, or with the people, with the families, put the people to take care. I received a phone call yesterday, and they asking me, they claim that the father was abused because the nurses or whoever was attending in there did not give them water, and he died, he passed away.
Well, so it's a valid comment, Cecilia, but we're talking about housing and transportation. So does that have to do with this?
No, honey. I just want to ask you, who should I talk to?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just want a contact to be able to answer. They saw me appointed to this position, and right away I get phone calls.
I'm so sorry. May I jump in on this one? Cecilia, you can actually reach out to the ombudsman program. If they are in a residential care facility for the elderly or a skilled nursing facility, the ombudsman program with Council on Aging Southern California is our contracted long-term care ombudsman. Basically coordinators, what they do is they advocate for residents of elderly care facilities. Let me go and I can ask Carissa to provide you with that offline.
Please.
And yes.
Well, I would further add, Cecilia, that senior physical abuse like that is a crime. All you need to do is call the police department. They'll look into it. That's a crime. You can't abuse seniors to the point where they die.
He died. Pepe, and he was a doctor. Can you believe it? He just got dementia. And I tell you one thing, Jen, I was in a rehabilitation home for a couple of weeks because of malpractice or Michael Gilman, a doctor that I was a police officer. I mean, I work in the police, and I retired from them. To make the long story short, guess what? He malpracticed in my leg. He cut my femur. Yes, to get more money, to maybe have the operation of what do you call the knee replacement? Oh my God, it was painful. I went to somebody else, but I cannot get a lawyer to get on that guy, and he's still working for the district and the compensation. So there is and I went to the rehabilitation and they won't listen to me, and I can move to go to the bathroom or to drink water.
Yeah, there's a fine line, Cecilia, between civil and criminal, though. I am also a retired police officer, 35 years, retired as a chief.
Oh, good.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. I will tell you that that's the first place I'd go with what you just described. As far as the knee and the malpractice, that's civil. You're going to have to get yourself an attorney on that one.
I let it go. I went to another doctor, and Dr. Patel, and he cured. But that guy, Michael Gilman, I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of those folks around, unfortunately.
Oh, jeez.
So okay, let's get back on topic here. Any other announcements regarding housing and transportation?
Nope.
Thank you for your help.
All right. So our next meeting is scheduled for March 11th at 9:30 a.m.
I'll put it in my calendar.
And do we have a motion to dismiss?
I make a motion.
Move. I'll second if someone's moving it.
I can because I'm not in the agenda, right?
All right. Thank you all very much for your participation. It was a good meeting.
Thank you, Sandy. Good job.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nice meeting you all.
You too, Cecilia.
You, Cecilia.
You are a sweetheart. You are. Oh, my God. I'm very blessed.